Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in to Little Brother, the show where we talk about computers, telephones, radios, social issues, and of course we tell on Big Brother. This is episode 2. Today on Little Brother, quacking ducks, hacking Microsoft, community radio, what's happening to Pacifica, and much more. So stay tuned, because Little Brother is about to tell on Big Brother. Thank you for tuning in to Little Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host this afternoon. I'd like to begin this afternoon's episode by giving a great big thanks to Tim Lake for graciously donating a half hour of his airtime on station WRPI in Troy, New York, for his program. Since many of you are listening to this program for the first time, let me recap what this show is about. About 12 years ago, a rather bold hacker turned journalist by the name of Emmanuel Goldstein started a radio program in New York City's WBAI to supplement his quarterly magazine, 2600. Over the years, he expressed repeatedly that he wished that there were other programs and magazines similar to his as demonstration of a flourish in his community. His community is my community. Our community is spread out all over the world, and we use the media we produce as a way to unite. On Goldstein's show, he talks about communications via computer, internet, telephone, radio, satellite, and so on, and discusses the social issues tied to the technology that he discusses. My goal is to provide that same service to upstate New York and wherever else my signal may reach by way of the internet. On this afternoon's program, we'll be concentrating especially on community radio, what it is, what's happening to it. We'll also be talking about silly phone tree options, internet censorship, and anything else that we can fit into 30 minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. These days, turning the radio dial, you hear a lot of the same garbage as you flip from station to station. Corporate interests, now unfettered by federal regulation, have purchased radio stations right and left. Once competitors are now conspirators, working in an effort to make sure that radio is cheap, meaningless, and conveys only the message to you that you should buy the wares that they are hawking. Enter community radio. Community radio comes in two major flavors, licensed and unlicensed. Good licensed community radio is truly a rare thing, and we in New York State are blessed to have two such stations that I am aware of, one in Troy and one in New York City. Licensed community radio stations take no money for commercials, no underwriting funds, and are able to separate their content from the wishes of the corporate media empires. They survive either by funding from a particular community, say for example a student body, or by getting listeners to donate to their cause. Just because a station collects funds from the community doesn't mean that it is a community radio station free of corporate influence. When you hear a show begin or end with a statement that says, "This show brought to you by Acme Widget Corporation, the best widgets in the world," that's corporate influence. So what do you do if you're not so extremely lucky as to have a licensed community station in your area? Some people have taken to the airwaves on their own, stealing back, as they say, what is rightfully theirs. Naturally, some of these stations get busted by the Federal Communications Commission. This recording came from Free Radio Santa Cruz, an unlicensed community radio station covering the shutting down of Free Radio Austin, another such unlicensed station.
This is Skidmark Bob with Reckless and Free Radio Austin. What is it, October 10th, year 2000? What's happening right now?
Well, right now at 2939 East 14th Street in Austin, Texas, we have two FCC agents, Lloyd Perry and another unnamed person that won't give us his name, a U.S. Marshal who's actually being very nice, and a crew to take down our tower. We have a 70-foot tower, and they're out there dismantling it right now. They're effectively taking our little free speech mobile off the yard, off of the air, and actually Lloyd Perry's out there digging up our transmitter since we have buried it. We're calling all the media we have. There's about 100 people in the side lot looking on and being upset that their free speech is being taken away from them. And I've been served with several papers, an order warrant for arrest of our property, a warrant for the arrest of me. which they're not going to do. Complaint in forfeiture, ex parte motion order directing issuance, and a seal complaint order, which means that's a gag order. I'm not allowed to talk to anybody about it.
Oh.
Of course I am anyway.
Right.
And an order granting the United States motion to seal. So I've been served with a lot of paperwork, and they're dismantling our tower and taking everything in the station.
What's going on behind you right now? I hear radios and...
I can't hear you, honey. What?
What's going on right now? I hear radios and I hear a bunch of tools and stuff behind you.
Oh, you do? Well, I'm in the house, but they're taking down the tower, and people are calling on their cell phones. We're calling all the local media. I'm actually going to call CNN and see if they want to do anything about it. But
is it a multi-jurisdictional task force?
Yes, sir.
Again?
There's a Austin Police Department is here as well.
Wow.
The U.S. Marshal and FCC.
Just one marshal?
Just one marshal.
How many FCC agents?
Two.
So they're right now. What other things have they confiscated so far?
The VCR.
VCR.
The board. The two tape decks, the monitor, the record players, everything, the antenna, the tower itself.
Wow.
Come in!
And there's a lot of people here trying to lend their support, which is really good.
So they have a warrant for
but,
you,
it's a
Reckless?
A very sad day in Austin.
They have a warrant for you, too?
Yeah, they do. They have a warrant signed by a judge.
For what? What's the charge?
What's the charge? Unlicensed broadcasting. Even though we've sent them letters and they just haven't responded to us. They act as though we don't exist.
Maybe that's why they're not going to haul you away. Maybe they realize that. I don't know.
Yeah, I was in federal court on Friday with Mr. Lloyd Perry and his FCC attorney. And Judge Fred Beery of the Western United States District called us the Thomas Paines of today and said he really loved what we were doing, but there was nothing he could do to lift the injunction on Kind or to help any other micro broadcaster.
So that was for Kind Radio. For people that don't know about Kind Radio, they've been on the air for quite a few years.
They've been on the air for almost 5 years.
And they're taken off by a court order as well.
Yep.
And also there was Radio 1 in Austin that has been taken down. And now you guys.
Yep, that's us.
So are they going to have to dig in the ground for the transmitter?
They're digging right now.
What are they using, just shovels, or did they get a backhoe out, or what?
What's that? I can't hear you.
They get a backhoe out there, or are they just digging
with
shovels?
I don't know, he's just digging away with our shovel. I asked him if, I told him he couldn't use shovel, and he said it was part of the radio station.
The shovel is part of the radio station?
Yeah.
Remember
that? I wanted to make them go get their own damn shovels, but...
I better hide my shovel, our shovels, at this... Well, we don't have any.
Yeah. Hide your hides, because they're out here. And the funny thing is that it's right before the Fortune 500.
Right.
And they know that we're a good communications base for all the activists in town. So I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it.
Did you happen to ask them about if they're going to be busting any other stations, like in any other states or something like that?
Well, I mean, obviously they can only bus stations here in Texas, but I'm sure they're doing a sweep.
Okay.
So watch y'all's ass and enjoy it while you got it, man. Free radio is just the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. It's changed a lot of people's lives here. I'm pretty sure people are going to continue to broadcast here somewhere else. I even told the marshal that. I said, you know, where people need it, it's going to happen. So.
What was his reply to that?
What's that?
What was his reply to that?
He said, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. It's just my job.
I'm sorry. I gotta make you hold on. I know you're taping, but
okay.
I gotta make you hold on.
All right. We're talking to Reckless at Free Radio Austin, Tuesday, October 10th, year 2000. The station is getting busted as she is talking to me on the phone. Right now it's 9:30 California time, so it's a couple hours, I believe, ahead there in Austin, Texas. Station is being busted right now. They are tearing down the antenna as we speak, confiscating equipment and violating their First Amendment
rights.
All right,
sorry about that.
Hey.
It's like there's a media blitzkrieg going on here.
Okay.
Which was exactly our plan.
Well, I'm really glad that you called us to let us know what's going on, and we'll try to get the word out as much as possible as well.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have some stuff to send you as far as news releases and stuff.
Is there any last comments you want to make about the FCC on our station?
Well, the FCC sucks. It's unfortunate that even though in our Constitution it says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, that in this day and age of technology they're not allowing individuals on the FM band, which is a public resource that is rightfully ours. And I just want to let you all know, for everyone we shut down, we're going to put 10 up. So just long live free radio. Don't be silent. Say what you got to say. Do what you got to do. But make sure that radio stays on.
And that was Reckless from Free Radio Austin, 97.1 FM, Austin, Texas. Shut down Tuesday, October 10th, year 2000. This has been a report from Skidmark Bob here at 96.3 Free Radio Santa Cruz, unlicensed radio at its finest.
Some of these stations, however, do not stay down. Mabano Cantaco, founder of Black Liberation Radio in Springfield, Illinois, who later renamed his station Human Rights Radio, was shut down by the Federal Communications Commission earlier this month. Down for less than 48 hours, he returned to the airwaves on October 20th and began his wait for the feds to show up again. Licensed community radio is not doing so well either. The Pacifica Foundation, which owns 5 radio stations across the United States, recently placed restrictions on reporter Amy Goodman, the host and producer of a daily news program, Democracy Now! Undeniably one of the most popular news programs carried by the Pacifica Network and its affiliate stations, Democracy Now! Is and has been one of the most daring news programs in broadcast history. Pacifica has given Goodman carte blanche to get to the bottom of the stories of less than successful democracy worldwide until now. On October 19th, a memo dated the 18th leaked out of Pacifica Foundation from Goodman to the Pacifica Board of Directors. This memo was in response to a memo she had received, imposing new rules and heavily curtailing her abilities to perform as she has in the past, and more importantly, curtailing her rights off the job. The new rules require her to clear over half the show's content with a Pacifica Board of Directors a week in advance, making it difficult, if not impossible, to stay on the cutting edge of current events. Perhaps more onerous, the new rules require Goodman to clear any and all speaking engagements with the Pacifica Foundation, a clear violation of her freedom of speech. When Pacifica listeners caught wind of this, protests ensued. This report comes to us from Pacifica station KPFA, Berkeley, California.
About 150 demonstrators stood in the rain at the KPFA building in central Berkeley as speaker after speaker assailed Pacifica for its treatment of the network's most popular on-air personality. The dispute between Goodman and management is only the latest episode in a protracted conflict that in the last 2 years has seen dismissals and arrests of KPFA staff members, the closing of KPFA, some 15,000 people marching in the streets to reopen the station, and a major shakeup at the Pacifica Network News. Media Alliance Director Andrea Buffa told the crowd that, with Goodman and Democracy Now! Under fire, it's time to take this battle to the Pacifica board.
We're trying to get rid of two of the board members, two of the masterminds. John Murdoch, he is a new member of the board, he's a corporate attorney, and his law firm has offices all across the country, including one in San Francisco at the Embarcadero Center and one in Los Angeles. So we're going to start putting out the information about the fax and the phone number and the email and the location of that office, and we're going to picket and call and make it impossible for them to do any work until John Murdoch gets off the board. Michael Palmer. The guy has got to go. He seems nice. I've talked to him many times. But he always votes with the bad guys. He's the one who advocates selling stations.
Murdoch, reached by phone, said that he had heard nothing of the effort to unseat him and that he had no comment. Palmer did not return KPFA's phone call. In answer to its critics, Pacifica issued a release claiming that Goodman and others had raised a number of red herring issues against the foundation. Pacifica said, in effect, that it was holding Goodman accountable for the quality of her show, as any management would. Speakers at the KPFA rally disagreed, saying Pacifica's agenda with Goodman was blatantly political. Media critic Norman Solomon.
More than anything else, this is about a political house cleaning, a purge. being implemented or attempted by top Pacifica management led by the so-called leaders on the board of directors.
Like in 1995!
It's a purge going on that is trying to implement an ideological litmus test that says, if you are more progressive than Al Gore, get off of our airwaves or shut up about it. That's what it's boiling down to. It is the mentality of what we might call liberal Stalinism, corporatism, repression, projection of their own value systems, and then disappointment when we fail to live up to them.
In one of its allegations, Pacifica stated that Goodman's use of volunteers to help produce Democracy Now! Has been a violation of the contract between Pacifica and Goodman's union AFTRA, the American Federation of TV and Radio Artists. That contract, Pacifica said, disallows the use of volunteer labor on Pacifica's national programming. Goodman herself did not return KPFA's call asking for a comment. However, former Pacifica national programmer Larry Bensky, also an AFTRA member, said he regularly used volunteer producers on his shows and that he knew of no such ban. The whole text of Pacifica's statement is at the worldwide website pacifica.org. Among other rallies that took place today in support of Goodman and Democracy Now! Were those at Pacifica station WPFW in Washington and at KPFK in Los Angeles, where about 200 people demonstrated. This is David Landau of KPFA News.
In Pacifica's defense, a Pacifica press release points out that Pacifica management have not dictated or attempted to censor Democracy Now! Content, nor have they attempted to limit her free speech. They have apparently, however, put into place all of the mechanisms necessary to make such censorship possible in the future. This next item comes from the Prometheus Center. This is dated October 10th, 2000. In response to underhanded political maneuvering in Congress, hundreds of advocates of neighborhood radio are sending their receivers to their senators. Quote, "This action symbolizes our disgust with elected officials bowing to pressure and contributions from corporate lobbyists. If Congress is going to keep the FM airwaves away from the public who rightfully own them, we will jam up their offices with hundreds of boxes of the radios that we're throwing out as a result of their mean-spirited legislation," end quote, said Ken Carl of the Prometheus Radio Project, a group that helps nonprofits start new radio stations. Late last week, U.S. Senator Rod Grams, a Minnesota Republican, started the process of attaching Senate Bill 3028, the self-proclaimed Radio Broadcasting Preservation Act of 2000, to a completely unrelated appropriations bill. An identical version of this bill passed the House earlier this summer. Appropriations are being fast-tracked this week so senators can go home and campaign. Advocates of low-power FM radio are demanding the Senate remove Senate Bill 3020 from appropriations bills, and at the very least, hearings should be held and the bills should be voted upon on its own merits. After years of testing and public comment, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, in January announced a new initiative to offer low-power FM or LPFM licenses for non-commercial neighborhood broadcasting. The FCC did this at least partially in response to the undermining of local radio by media conglomerates. Today, we have corporate behemoths owning thousands of mass-market FM radio stations. These giants have no interest in devoting airtime and resources to the concerns of local communities, said Ken Carl. These corporations, fronted by the National Association of Broadcasters, or NAB, have spent $16.9 million to influence Congress since 1996. The NAB has a staff of 20 lobbyists who have made beating up on the small news stations their top priority. Congress has been duped into believing that Senate Bill 3020 is a compromise legislation, but the compromises were already made inside the FCC. This bill requires millions of dollars worth of frivolous field testing about technical issues that were already abundantly understood. It's like demanding tests to find out whether we need emissions control devices on bicycles. Calls for tests are a cynical stalling tactic of the broadcasters, hoping to outwait and outspend the tiny LPFMs until we just give up. In fact, the FCC has addressed every single concern of the LPFM opponents and has mandated extremely conservative regulations and oversight for LPFM, added Pete Tridish of the Prometheus Radio Project. The first two of five windows for submitting LPFM applications have already passed, resulting in nearly 1,300 applications from churches, civic groups, local governments, youth, senior, and other community organizations. This overwhelming response to the FCC's LPFM initiative is being ignored by Congress. Quote, We applied to build a radio station in Opelousas, Louisiana, so that our neighborhood could have local news, community organizations, and youth could have radio shows, and our town could have a more open media. Can you believe that in the town that hosts the largest Zydeco festival in the world, there is barely any Zydeco on the radio? It's all pop music from other places, said Michael Olivier of the Southern Development Foundation, a low-power radio applicant in Louisiana. It's just typical that the one time that the FCC tries to do right by the regular people in America's small towns and neighborhoods, Congress comes along and tears up their plans to make sure that all the radio stations stay in the hands of the big corporations. And now for a quick game called Fun with Dial Tones. We all know and have gotten to hate those annoying phone tree systems. You call the XYZ Corporation and a machine answers telling you to press 1 for this and 2 for that. Well, here's a company that's decided to see if we're paying attention, and lo and behold, we were.
Welcome to National Discount Brokers. This call may be recorded and or monitored for quality assurance. For trading, press 1. For a new account kit, press 2. For quotes, press 3. For customer service, press 4. If you are a NetLink Stock Benefit Plan customer, press 5. To hear more about our Buy 4 Free program, where you can buy your own company stock commission-free, press 6. If you would like to hear a duck quack, press 7. If you know your party's expected...
Nordic Wolf, who has submitted that item to us, says every company should have an option 7. The Wall Street Journal yesterday broke a story that Microsoft has been hacked. For those of us who have come to know that Microsoft security is an oxymoron, this should come as no surprise. This, however, was no ordinary script kiddie attack putting graffiti on Microsoft's website, but rather a shot straight to the heart. According to Microsoft, the unknown intruder managed to land some of Microsoft's jealously guarded source code. Microsoft are meticulously checking the contents of their systems in an effort to ensure that their products are being released as intended and not modified. According to the Wall Street Journal article, the attack was carried out using an email-bound Trojan. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, encourages all netizens to contact their congressional representatives and urge them to support the Music Owners Listening Rights Act of 2000, or MLRA, bill number HR 5275. The bill begins to reform unbalanced copyright law by firmly establishing users' rights to access music that they lawfully own via the internet at any time from any place. Large record companies have used a tortured interpretation of the copyright law to stifle new internet businesses that compete with these record companies. For example, they sued MP3.com to stop it from letting people play music over the internet, even though the users proved that they possessed a copy of the CD. Agreeing with the recording studios, the district court found MP3.com guilty of an act of intermediate copying without ever deciding whether consumers are allowed to play audio of their own CDs. MP3.com is appealing the case, but it has also encouraged Congress to make its intent clearer by passing this legislation. HR 5275 would declare unequivocally that consumers can transmit an audio recording over the internet so it will play wherever they are, if they've shown that they possess the CD or otherwise lawfully own the music. The bill legalizes copies made by a service company so that consumers and artists can begin to experiment with new models of distribution better suited to a digital realm. Copyright law was designed to strike a balance between authors' and artists' rights to be compensated for the creations and the public's rights to access and use that creation. Restrictions written before the advent of digital technology should not be used to preclude new technologies from coming into existence, depriving society of the benefit of innovation. Updating the law to reflect the change in the real-world circumstances begins to address the threat that the recording studios place on free expression in a digital world. This item comes to us from the Electronic Privacy Information Center. They recently released a report examining a software filtering product called BESS manufactured by N2H2 Incorporated. The purpose of this report is to determine whether the software used in a typical school setting blocks access to political and educational web pages that are appropriate for school children. Their conclusion was that many such pages are indeed blocked. This report makes no effort to establish whether the pattern is widespread, the result of flaws in the software or other factors. It simply demonstrates that many web pages that would otherwise be available and should be available to students in schools are blacked out when the software filter is in use. According to N2H2, their software products are in use in 17,000 schools, which is over 40% of all U.S. schools, affecting 13 million students. Furthermore, Congress is currently debating whether to make this type of software mandatory in schools and libraries which receive federal funds. On this basis, it's believed that the study is both representative and timely. The incidents reported were confirmed both on an N2H2 proxy and on the trial copy of the N2H2 Internet Filtering Manager for the home. Several levels of filtering are available. All tests with the Internet Filtering Manager were performed on the, quote, typical school filtering, end quote. It's believed that this configuration is likely to be used in most school settings. The categories it targets for blocking are, quote, mature content, including inappropriate sexual content, violence, drugs, hate, and profanity, end quote. Amongst the pages that were blocked were pages on campaign finance reform, ECM Publishers, which is the home of a dozen newspapers in Minnesota, information on how a bill becomes a law, the Traditional Values Coalition, Pennsylvania Rules of Criminal Procedure, American Government and Politics, a class taught at St. John's University, Circumcision Information and Research Pages, War Resisters League, Unpublished Military Photographs from 1900 to 1945, What is Memorial Day, an essay by Lieutenant Bobby Ross, The Right to Keep and Bear Arms, Hillary for President, The Smoking Gun, a website that collects documents about current events, for example, a fact sheet on Osama bin Laden or the police citation recently given to Al Gore Jr. Courting votes in Alabama, People Are the Boss, a powerful credo from a Malaysian movement dedicated to democratic control of their government. Our Constitution needs another amendment, not the U.S. Constitution. This one's for the nation of India. Voices of Citizens Together, putting together conservative views on subjects like immigration, voter fraud, and the list goes on. It was found that a wide range of educational, cultural, historical, and political information blocked by the software filter were not necessarily appropriate to the description. Contrary to the views expressed by some lawmakers that these programs block access only to offensive material, it was found instead that the program will block access to websites that are not only non-offensive, but would be appropriate and useful for students in school. Thanks for tuning in. This program has been produced at C-Cubed Studios in Schenectady, New York. This program is available for download at www.wisvax.net/critter. Higher quality downloads are available upon request at critter@wisvax.net. Please feel free to distribute this program freely in any medium.